Welcome to the Michigan District of the LCMS Innovative Missional Ministries Podcast. Today we have the Reverend Dr. Brad Yops talking about the Franklin Avenue Mission in Flint.
Christian was supposed to do this. We've been sitting on some information, Christian and his wife, and you ever hope and pray and hope and pray and it doesn't come out the way you want it to? That ever happened to you folks? That's kind of where the Jones family is right now. And so you're going to have to forgive me because I'm a little bit discombobulated. Okay? I'm a little bit of hurt for Christian and his family right now. But you see, there's so many people in the urban areas, in particular in the dark spots, the black holes, that don't have anybody to pray for them. They don't have families. They couch crews. They don't have homes. You don't know how many, but you just know. Human trafficking, that's their lifestyle. Substance abuse, loading up on crack, cocaine. How many of you have gone into your church and had your pastor stand before them? We're going to have our church announcements now. And you have to say to your people, listen, is everybody listening? I'm giving the announcements now. Shh. If you're doing heroin, don't do the stuff on the street right now. It's laced with fentanyl, and it'll kill you. That's our church announcement. Jesus loves you. See, what I'm hearing here is all of us have this common denominator, this umbrella, if you will. Underneath this umbrella is violence, epic, substance abuse, human trafficking, homelessness, hunger. And they're in our backyard, right? But what drives the church? What drives you right now to say, you know what? I may not remember all the numbers of these churches or these wonderful things that these... I am amazed at what you folks are doing. I really am. I praise God for our church. I praise God for our synod. I praise God for us working together with this awful backyard stuff. You remember that story? True story about hunger. Jesus, his group, his gang, they were just worn out. They had been just doing ministry. Sometimes when you're doing ministry, you just kind of flatline. And says, you know, you guys, we got to get away to a place and rest. You ever go to that place, you just need to rest. You don't need any more trouble in life. You don't need a bad news. You just don't need it. Jesus, come on, let's go away and rest. So he charters a boat and they go across the water and this kind of stuff. And people saw them. Remember the story? People saw them. And so they run around the perimeter and they what? They meet Jesus. They meet the disciples and they need rest. But you see, disciples notice something about them. That, you know, it's about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, it's a hike back, and we don't have food to feed them. But you see, when Jesus got out of the boat, remember? Out of the boat, it said he had what?
Compassion.
He had compassion. Oh, that's not a normal word. That's not just a sissy word. This compassion, from the languages, Jesus saw inside started to quiver. Jesus started to hurt on the inside, seeing homeless, broken, empty, 5,000 of them. And then these wonderful words, the eyes of Jesus looked on the hood, looked on the poor, looked on the hungry, looked on those that don't have any hope and they need to be healed. And he looked upon them as what? Sheep without a shepherd. You know, I asked you, Rob, I said, Rob, what do you want us to say? I mean, what's the purpose of what I'm doing here? Rob texted back. He says, something the positive that's come out of the Franklin Avenue Mission Ministry. That's it. Compassion. Having the eyes to see as Jesus saw.
In 2005, I was at a friend's house, and I was babysitting at the time, and I decided to take him for a walk, and as I was walking down the road, I ran into Kevin.
At the time, I seen her all bruised up and everything, so I didn't like it. Then, within a week, I've seen more bruises on her, and she told me that it came from not only her boyfriend but from her mother. So I walked up to her and I took her from him.
What's it like to live in an abandoned?
Scary. You never know when somebody's gonna break into the house and burn down the house or shoot up the house. You never know. We had to cover up in blankets, but sometimes the blankets don't even help.
So what do you do, stay awake all night?
Over half the night. And then there's times we go and get like hand warmers and put them in our pockets to keep us warm.
Someone might say, well, you could get out of this situation.
In Flint?
Yeah.
How?
We've tried.
You buy something and you bring it into the abandoned house and then have to worry about other people coming into your house and either stealing your food.
Really? Does that happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Steal your food.
Either steal your food or they throw it into trash or they throw it in to the toilets or I had pills one time that they literally took my seizure pills and dumped it in the toilets and yeah. You never know what's gonna happen here.
Is this your fault?
It's kind of our fault.
How so?
We're not all the way there in our heads.
What do you mean by that, you're not all there?
When I was growing up, I was in a special ed.
Okay.
And they always said that I had I have a learning disability.
How does that equal Nicole and Kevin should live in a homeless situation, that they should live in an abando? It doesn't make sense?
No.
At this age, when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a teacher.
You did?
A lot of what I wanted to be went downhill when I got jumped and beat up.
Things just went downhill?
Yeah.
It was just scary for you then?
Yeah. Well, not really, because I had my mom. I always thought I had my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom was my rock. Until 2008 when she passed away. So, I always wanted to be a cop one day in my life, but a detective actually. But once I became a seizure patient from being jumped, I can't even get in the Army these days. I tried going to the Army and they won't even take me.
Feel there's any difference between you who live in this abando and the rest of America, the rest of the people in Flint?
No.
Tell me, Nicole, what you mean?
Because we all have feelings just like they do. They have needs just like we do.
Do you feel hopeless?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Feel unwanted, unworthy. There are people out in this world that, you know, have to sleep in abandoned houses, and then there are people that are nice and warm in their beds. And it makes me wish that, you know, something could have happened for us, that we could have been, you know, able to go into being a warm house at night.
What do you guys do? Is there anything you do that's fun at all?
Tech center, getting online. Or going over our friend's house, or mainly going to church.
Seeing all of our friends.
Seeing all you got, all the pastors, all our friends, praying. Because if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Nicole, I'd be dead.
What Kevin said at the end, what did he say? If it wasn't for
Nicole,
he would be what? Did any of you have within your stomach, did any of you have this quivering inside, this hurt inside, as you heard someone say that, experience it? That's compassion. And compassion is the singular thing under the power of the Holy Spirit that leads missions like this, or Family of God, or Pastor Essenberg's church, or all of us. There has to be more. And it is a compassion for broken, hungry, homeless, human trafficked, substance abused, physically abused people. It's compassion. Now, as far as takeaway, it'll be an offering to you. I would offer to you that you should go experience Family of God, Pastor Essenberg's, our church, or these other other areas of ministry, experience. Get on campus, boots on ground, outside your walls, and experience Ellie's house. Then you get a picture, and that compassion will drive you. You want to know about Franklin Avenue Mission? We provide this little packet right here. I'm not going to go through all the numbers. You'll forget them anyways. Take this home, give us or give these folks a call, and experience mission in our own backyard. Thank you.